How are you guys doing tonight? Okay, so I wanted to say how much I love that God desires for us to imitate his son, Jesus Christ. We are called into a relationship with God. There's nothing religious about it. He wants us to follow him. He wants us to be like him. He wants to do as he has done. And in fact, in the Gospels, when we read the stories of Jesus, we see that Jesus called people to simply follow him. And they became friends of Jesus. And then they became co-workers of Jesus. And ultimately, they were full-on disciples, apostles of Jesus. And they started to do what he did. They talked like he talked. They felt how he felt. They loved how he loved. And in fact, when Jesus, but right before he ascended into heaven, he told his disciples, "Hey, disciples, I want you to go and make more disciples. I want you guys to be imitators of me. I want those disciples to imitate you, and I want that example to follow." And tonight, as we continue our verse-by-verse study in this letter to the Philippians, we're going to see what it means to imitate Christ through humble service. And that is the main idea that we saw in chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 27, we saw that the main idea is to lead lives that are worthy of the gospel. And if you want to lead a life that is worthy of the gospel, you need to imitate Christ. You need to serve how he served. And Paul, he set the example in himself. And he actually explained in chapter 1 that he was a servant who actually suffered. And in his suffering as a prisoner in the city of Rome, he actually was able to serve the Lord and serve others in the midst of suffering. He was in a very uncomfortable place, but he said in verse 12 that, "I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that my suffering, my chains, that I am here actually advancing the gospel. And as a result, it's become clear that throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that my chains are because of Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all more to proclaim the gospel without fear." So Paul is this example of imitating Christ even in the midst of suffering. And that's his whole reason of writing this letter to the Philippian church. He actually wanted to thank them for sending an offering, a financial gift by the hands of Epaphroditus. And he also wanted to use this letter to encourage them to continue to imitate Christ. No matter what season of life you're in, I want you to follow Christ and to humbly serve. And also in chapter 2, we see that Christ was an example. He was the servant of all servants. Even though he was the King of kings and the Lord of lords, even though his name was above every other name, he became low like a servant, and he served all of mankind. And his service was obedience, and he went to the cross, and he was able to benefit so many people. All that who would believe in him were saved, and Christ is that main example. And this portion of scripture that we're going to read tonight in chapter 2, verses 19 through 30, this portion of scripture, Paul is actually going to drive this point home even further. And he's thinking to himself, maybe I'm a really big example for the Philippians, and maybe Christ, they can't follow that example, so I'm going to break it down, and I'm going to drive this point home and show them two examples of two guys, Timothy and Epaphroditus, two guys that the Philippian church knew very well, and they are examples of what it means to imitate Christ through humble service. So let's look at verse 19. This example is the example of Timothy. So we're going to read 19 through 24. "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. So when we read Philippians chapter 2 and you come to these verses, it may, at first glance, it may seem like Paul's just sharing his travel plans with them. But Paul is making Timothy an example of what it means to imitate Christ. Just to give you some context, Timothy was from the city of Lystra, and Paul met him on his first missionary journey, and he came through that town. Timothy was probably 17 years old. Timothy became a Christian because of Paul's ministry. He probably was personally discipled by Paul. Then Paul had to carry on with Barnabas and continue planting churches over Asia Minor. And then sometime later, Paul started his second missionary journey. He came to the same city to visit Timothy. And then he learned that Timothy was growing in the Lord. He was a mature Christian, that he was spoken well of. He was respected by the people in the church. He served in the local church, and he was imitating Christ in all of his ways. So Paul, he wanted to invite him on the missionary journey, and not as a spectator, but also as a co-laborer. So there Timothy is, working with Paul in the ministry, in planting churches. Timothy was so trusted that Paul would send Timothy on his own on crucial missions. Timothy went to places like Macedonia and Corinth on his own to represent Paul and to really take care of some issues in those churches. During Paul's first imprisonment in Rome, Timothy was sent to the city of Ephesus to oversee the ministry and oversee the teaching that was going on there. He was there to talk to the false teachers and have them sit down, and he was actually supervising all of the pastors. Timothy was very well respected. He was a great leader. People knew him in many cities. Look at in verse 20, it says, I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. So out of all of the ministry partners that Paul had, there was no one like Timothy. There was no one that Paul could send with confidence such as Timothy. Timothy was unique in his unselfish care for the spiritual affairs of the Philippians. He was true, he was genuine, and there was no one else like him. He was a man of integrity, and he cared so much about the ministry. And the Apostle Paul, this great missionary, this church planter, he was exalting the character of Timothy, saying, you know what? There is no one like him. I want to send him to you. In verse 21, it says, for everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. So out of the teammates that Paul had, many had abandoned him. Paul went to prison, and we know that some left him. He left Paul's ministry. Some left the ministry in general, and some left the faith. They left him entirely, but Timothy was faithful. Maybe they left for selfish reasons. They cared more for the things of this world than for the things of the gospel. But Timothy was different. Timothy was faithful. Timothy had a mindset of others first. He cared about serving. He wanted to serve and not be served. He wanted opportunities to see people get saved. He wanted to make disciples. He wanted to help Paul in the ministry. He humbly served Paul. And when we read this verse, we can't stop to think about the other verses that Paul shared earlier in the chapter, in verses 3 and verse 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. And Timothy is this example of selflessness. He cared about the interests of others. He cared about the gospel. He was an example of an imitator of Christ. Verse 22, but you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. And we know that Timothy was saved under Paul's ministry, so he considered him as a spiritual son. He cared for him. He loved him so much. There was this like-mindedness. He was just like him. He was like his mini-me. And so when he's writing to the Philippians knew that Paul was just passionate about the ministry. He cared for people. He cared for the lost. And so when Paul is writing this, they're thinking, okay, he's just like you. He's your son. You guys are like-minded. There's so much commonality. And Paul is saying, you know what? You think that I, the Apostle Paul, am a man of God? Well, my son Timothy, he's a man of God. He is humble. He is selfless. He cares for you. He is the real deal. He's a man of integrity. He imitates Christ. Follow him. Look at verse 23. And I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. So Timothy proved himself so well. His character stood the test of time. And Paul was thinking, you know what? If I don't get out of prison, if they execute me here, if I can never return to you, the Philippians and the city of Philippi, I'm going to send you the next best thing. I'm going to send you my son, Timothy. I'm going to send him to you. He's going to care for you. I am confident. I'm confident in him. But I do hope to get out. See, Paul was in prison. He wanted to get out, but he didn't know what his situation would be. So he's saying, I'm going to send Timothy because he is an example. And just think about the situation at hand. When Paul was in prison, he was in a Roman prison in the first century. He was in a dungeon. He was in a place that was very uncomfortable. There were no amenities. There was nothing for him, and he would be there left to die if it wasn't for the generosity of someone like Timothy to take care of him. They had no way of financing their stay if it wasn't for the generosity of the Philippians. And where was Timothy at this time before he went to the prison? Timothy was probably in the city of Ephesus. Ephesus was, yeah, it was a pagan city, but it was a nice city. It had a lot of comfort. It had a lot of nice restaurants. It was a global city, a progressive city. He was able to grow and grow intellectually and spiritually. He had a great career. His responsibility was amazing. He was like a pastor of pastors. He oversaw the ministry. He got to travel. He was well-respected. He got to teach the word. When people saw Timothy in the streets of Ephesus, they said, that is a man of God. He is a good guy. But then Timothy left that. He left that. He humbled himself and went down to serve Paul in a prison. And Paul is saying he is just like a son serves his father. He cares for me. He didn't leave me to die. And Paul says that he was in chains. Paul was in chains. And so how would he, you know, feed himself and take care of himself? I bet it was Timothy was the one feeding him, spoon feeding him, maybe even bathing him. There was no sewage system in there. Just imagine the context of Paul's letter. Timothy humbled himself and went to this prison to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even though he was this, you know, this middle manager in the city of Ephesus, working, serving under Paul, he was supervising many other people, but he went to a prison to serve one person. And he had no idea how long his service would last for. He didn't know if it was gonna last for a year, maybe 2 years. Maybe they were gonna execute his leader, his spiritual father. He did not know. But he was there selflessly serving, imitating Christ through humble service. Timothy is an example for the Philippian church. The Philippians knew Timothy very well. On the second missionary journey, Paul took Timothy to Philippi. They knew him. They saw his growth and his maturity. They heard his testimony. They knew where he was from and what he was about. And when Paul is writing this letter, they're probably thinking to themselves, wow, he really is a man of God. He is an example. And the second example here is Epaphroditus. And this one hits closer to home because Epaphroditus was from Philippi. He was sent by this church with an offering. They gathered an offering. They sent it in trustworthy hands, this guy named Epaphroditus. And let's read in verse 25 through 29. It says, "But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. So then welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him." So once again, this passage may sound like travel plans that Paul is laying out for the Philippians to read, but it goes above and beyond that. Epaphroditus is that example. He is that Christ-like example of a humble servant. He was the guy that was so trustworthy that the Philippian church was confident to send him not only with the offering, but to go into the prison and to serve Paul. Paul probably needed a team of people. Just imagine Timothy getting tired day after day serving Paul. So Epaphroditus was there to alleviate what Timothy was doing. He was trustworthy. He was faithful. And he was willing to go. He answered the call of the ministry. He said, "There's a need." And he said, "Here I am, Lord. Please send me." So there he's off. He goes to Rome. And in verse 25, it says, "I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, fellow soldier." So Paul is saying that Epaphroditus is his brother. These guys are equals. Epaphroditus, he's my brother in the Lord. We are the same. We're in the same ministry. He's my co-laborer. Yes, I'm a church planter. I'm a missionary. I'm the Apostle Paul. But Epaphroditus, him and I were equals. We are co-laborers serving together. Then it says that Paul said he's a fellow soldier. A soldier is one that's engaged in warfare. He's engaged in spiritual warfare. He's on the offensive, engaged in battle. He's passionate about souls. He's prepared for battle. He puts on the armor of God. He wants to make an impact in this world. He wants to make disciples. Epaphroditus wants to serve the Lord. And he's serving the Lord by serving Paul in a prison. And then it says, he is your messenger. That word messenger in the Greek means, is apostolos. And that's the same word for apostle, kind of like the 12 apostles. Obviously, Epaphroditus is not one of the 12 apostles, but he functions as one. He's a messenger. He has a message. He's a sent one. He has a purpose. He's on mission, and his mission is to go and serve in a dungeon with Paul. And then it says, he is sent to take care of my needs. And Paul once again highlights the attributes and the characteristics of a man who imitates Christ through humble service. Look at it in verse 26 and 27. "For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow." So Paul writes, he longs for you and he cares for your well-being, because somewhere along the way, maybe on the way to Rome from Philippi, maybe once Epaphroditus got to the prison cell, he got sick. And he got so sick that he was on his deathbed. He was ready to die. And for some reason, the Philippians heard about his sickness. And then Epaphroditus heard that they knew, and that distressed him even more. The word says that he was distressed. And that means he was anguished. He was beyond repair. We don't know if he had a mental breakdown, an emotional breakdown, but he got so sick. And then he had this psychological breakdown. We don't know what it is. Maybe he missed his mom. Maybe on the way to Rome, he passed by, McDonald's and supersized it, got sick. Maybe he got sick and from a disease in the prison. But we don't know, but he got so sick. And in the first century in a prison, there was no healthcare for all, no healthcare system, no medicine, no Walgreens. And so most likely you would die. And so he was on his deathbed, ready to go. But then God says, or Paul says, God had mercy on him and miraculously healed him. Then now he's better. And now I want to send him back to you. You sent him to me to serve me, and he is a servant of God. He's going to do a great job, but I want to serve him back to you because this is causing me anxiety. Paul said, I will have less anxiety if I send him to you. So please take him. Please take him back. Thank you so much for sending him, but he is a great servant of God because he was willing. He was able. He said, here I am, send me. In verse 29, so then welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honor people like him. So when he gets back to you, well, actually Epaphroditus took this letter. Paul is telling them, welcome him, throw a party, just like how we honor missionaries here at this church. Welcome him as a missionary because he risked his life for the gospel. Yes, he risked his life to preach the gospel, but he wasn't preaching, but Paul was. He risked his life to serve others. Welcome him with great joy because he's alive. Honor people like him. He risked his life to serve others. Kind of like Christ, how Christ, who surrendered all to the will of God and didn't care about his well-being, but he cared about the well-being of others. Epaphroditus is this next example. So we got Paul, we got Christ, we got Timothy, and Epaphroditus. And I'm excited about these examples. I think Paul was excited to write about these examples because these are examples to follow. These guys are normal people just like you and me. Epaphroditus, he was a servant in the church. He loved God. He loved others. These guys were people that they personally knew. And then for us, as we are studying this book verse by verse, our exegetical study, we personally don't know them, but we know about them. But I think it's great that we have examples in our lives that we can follow. Look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Paul writes, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. So Paul is writing, saying, follow us as an example and keep your eye out on other examples because they're all around you. I am so excited that we're part of a church that we have great examples. I think of Pastor Brooks and Miss Sherry, how for over 40 years they have been examples of humble servants of Christ. They have imitated Christ. I'm thankful that they have a team of people, a staff that supports them, that believes in them, and that believes in you guys, and we're genuine. I'm sorry, I'm going to talk about myself. We care for you guys. We care for the spiritual well-being of you guys. We think about you guys day and night and on our day off, every single night, maybe not Sunday night, but the other 6 days, we think about you guys. We care for you guys. We pray for you guys. We think about your problems, and we pray for healing for those who need it. We pray for marriages to be restored. We pray for the lost loved ones that you guys have in your families. We pray for them. We constantly think about how can we reach out to our community and reach out to the lost. We even think about, what should we serve on Sunday morning? Krispy Kreme or Dunkin' Donuts? We don't know. That keeps us up at night. There's some of us think we should cut up fruit every single morning and serve it to you guys. And others, the Krispy Kremes, that's the win. But we care for you guys. And I'm thankful for the other examples that we have in this church. I'm thankful for the leaders of different departments and ministries, all you volunteers, those of you who serve as captains, those of you who are in the balcony as ushers, those of you who work outside, work on the stage, work behind the scenes. Many people will never see your service. You guys are imitators of Christ. You guys are humble servants. I'm thankful that we have these examples to follow. And I'm going to put some photos on the screen. And these are people that you may not even know. You may not know who they are. You're not going to know all of their names. You're not going to know what it takes for them to come to this place to serve on a weekend and week out, a weekly or bi-weekly basis. But if we can go back to the screen of the nursery, you don't know these guys, but only God knows them all. And Miss Sherry, they know their names. They know what they go through. So this woman, she allows us to be in a room like this and hear the word of God. What it takes to operate a service like this takes many, many volunteers like her. Can we go to the next one? Look at our parking lot ministry. These guys are amazing. These guys are humble servants. And as we learned today, we have four seasons in Wisconsin. And for three of them, they are cold. Yes. Can we go to the next one? Nobody sees the interpreters, but many of you are blessed by their sacrificial service. They go up to this room. They're either hot or they're cold because the heating doesn't work very, very well, but they tirelessly serve and translate the word of God for many people. Can we go to the next one? Look at this stage. Look at the set design. Isn't this amazing? These guys come here on their weekend. They come here to serve all day on Saturday. Nobody sees them, so I took this picture and there they are. And I'm thankful for people like that. I'm thankful for the people who are going to be in the musical, who are rehearsing a few days out of the week. They work 40, 50 hours a week, and then they come here to rehearse. I'm thankful for people like that. People are going to come up on the stage, they're going to perform. Many people will clap, but nobody will see the many hours, what it takes to build a set like this. Thank you all. Thank you for the guest services who are going to serve for six musicals. Can we go to the next photo? Is that it? Okay. That's the main point in this passage. Imitate Christ through humble service. Do you guys like it? So that's the word of God. It kind of sounds like travel plans, but Paul has a plan and a purpose of writing this scripture. His plan is to set examples for us to follow. And I want to encourage you guys to imitate Christ through humble service. No matter what you're going through, maybe you're suffering. Maybe you're suffering like the Philippian church. The Philippian church was being persecuted. They were going through hard times. They were living in a culture that was antagonistic to the gospel. It wasn't easy to follow Christ. It wasn't easy to be a Christian in Philippi, but they found it in their hearts to serve in the midst of suffering. They sent an offering to Paul. They sent Epaphroditus. And these guys were encouraged by Paul to continue to be faithful and to continue to serve. I invite you guys to stand to your feet. We're going to have a time here at the altar. We're going to pray. And I want to pray for our church that we can be humble servants no matter what season in life you're going through. Maybe you're going through a season of blessing, maybe a season of suffering. Whatever season it is, we can serve the Lord. We can imitate Christ. We can see the gospel go forth here in our community. So I invite you to come forward and let's pray. Father, we want to thank you so much. We thank you for your word. We thank you that it's inspired by you. We thank you that you have so many examples in your word, examples that we can follow. We thank you for the example of Paul. Even though he was suffering in a prison, he wanted to serve you. He loved people. He wanted people to know who you were. We thank you for Timothy. We thank you that he was genuine. We thank you that he wanted to serve. Thank you that he wanted to preach the gospel, and advancing the gospel meant serving his spiritual father. We thank you for Epaphroditus, who selflessly went all the way to Rome to serve Paul in a prison. We thank you for these examples, and I pray for this church. I pray that we would follow that example. Father, speak to us. Give us a heart to imitate you. Give us the mind of Christ. We want to serve you, Lord, and we thank you.